Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
Ask again? No, I'm just kidding.
It's okay. It's no, fine. I'll say it.
Yeah.
I'll say it on the podcast. I don't care. I just got back from a place where it's a massage place, but I didn't get massaged. I got stretched.
Okay.
It's just a very large man manhandling my body. And
your back got stretched.
Back, thighs, definitely the glutes.
Nice.
And it was good. Oh, great.
No, I have not been stretched. I've gotten massages before when my wife, like, sometimes, like, massage envy has a thing where she, like, she schedules me a massage, but I've never had the Bob Kraft treatment.
This was not Bob Kraft. This was stretch.
You're
lying on the table and they're holding your ankles and they're putting them behind your... Oh, wait, it was Bob Kraft.
Okay, I'm not going to lie. That gives off big time rich guy vibes, by the way. Like, comedian. I feel like you've hit another level as like a comedian when you are now on days before shows getting not massage, but stretch.
Yeah, I wish that was the case. I will tell you, it was $40. So it wasn't like... Ooh. A price point that's like, ooh, fancy day.
No, you should have just let me roll with that. You should have just been
It was $200.
You should be like, my manager set it up. I didn't even know. I just showed up and
I showed up. I require no eye contact from the man stretching me.
This is the Greg Cody Show, by the way. If you stumbled upon this and you didn't read the description, you're probably like, what am I listening to right now? Greg Cody is sick. He's under the weather, and we're heading to Vegas this week. So I was like, Dad, you need to sleep. Okay. I'll handle the podcast. So I text my buddy Brad Williams, and here we are. We're going to turn these mics on and we're going to shit out a Greg Cody Show.
I mean, I feel like Greg Cody is one that I feel like I can kind of AI a Greg Cody podcast.
Yeah. Okay? Go ahead.
You just kind of talk aimlessly about one topic. It has nothing to do with sports. So like, right now, I'm looking at foil wrap food.
yes.
Yeah, and then you start talking about foil and how it keeps it warm, it keeps it cold. I don't know how it knows whether the food has to be warm or cold.
Greg Cody just starts ranting about like old shit, like, oh, back in my day, we did this with tin foil.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It used to be a sign that you were crazy when you had a tin foil hat. And then when you get bored, you just say that kind of thing.
Exactly. All right. That's good night, everyone. That's the Greg Cody Show.
Greg Cody podcast.
Where's I was realizing like every comedian now has a like, where's the Brad Williams podcast? Where's the clip? Why don't I see you online when I'm scrolling and like, you know, oh, there's his take on this thing. Like, when's that happening?
I am currently developing a podcast.
There we go.
And so it's coming out soon. And I'm actually talking with your company. So. Ooh. I
did not do that. Like, this is not like a, like, I did not like know that. And I'm like, how can I bring this up naturally?
Yeah. I hope that, I hope that it happens soon. I hope that it happens with your company. I'm looking forward to it.
Now I feel like I can't talk about it. I wanted to press questions and be like, is this a solo thing? Like, are you going to do it with somebody? But now I feel like we probably shouldn't go into that anymore.
No, because nothing is set in stone. But I used to have a podcast, but then my daughter was born and I was like, I'd like to see her at some point.
Yeah.
But so then I stopped doing the podcast and then the pandemic hit and I'm like, man, I should have kept that podcast because I was not on the road. And I was in that, and I was just home. So that, but I'm working on developing more things. I feel like as a comedian, it used to be you just had to be funny. As long as you were funny, you're good. Now you got to have a YouTube channel. You got to have a podcast. You got to have a social media presence. You got to have a TikTok guy. You got to have a maybe a Substack.
Yeah.
And then you have to know Pablo Torre. That's how the whole thing works. I feel like comedians that don't know Pablo Torre aren't doing very well.
No shot. Yeah, they have no shot.
Yeah, I just heard Ronnie Chang and Dan Soder is on there all the time. Pablo did a much better interview with Ronnie Chang than you guys did.
Oh my God, dude. That's why when you first said that, I was like, oh my God, my skin started crawling again.
My skin started crawling as a comedian. I was listening to that podcast. It's like, oh my God, they are how, like, it, like, maybe I could have done something because I get you guys and I know what you guys do, but Ronnie's just expecting an interview. And yeah, that's not what he got.
Dude, Dan has a track record. You should feel honored that he hasn't, with comedians, he can just be weird sometimes. I don't know what it is.
You know, maybe it's something, and I don't find this to be true, but maybe to where, because oftentimes when people interview comedians, a lot of morning radio guys, they feel like they have to be funny and they have to be funnier than the comedian, because it's like, well, this is my show. I'm the funny guy. I can't let this guy come in and be funnier than me. And then they try to be funnier, and it's just it barely will almost never go well.
Do you have any horrible stories from that shit?
Yes. So many. Okay. Man, more like morning radio as a comedian, it's great. I love doing it. I actually enjoy getting up early, and there's many morning radio show hosts across the country that are absolutely fantastic. They're really good, and you usually will get some material from it. But then, like, I remember this was literally like 2 years ago. I don't want to call out the show, but it's a show in Dallas, Texas. And I hopped on, and the first thing they do is like, all right, we got comedian Brad Williams in here. Brad Williams, so you're a big star, big time comedian. You were on The Mind of Mencia. Tell me about that. And I'm just like, that was 17 freaking years ago. And it's not like I was happy to be on it. It was like my first big gig. But like, it's not like I did Chappelle's show or some sort of cultural phenomena that you could go back and be like, man, comedy was this way. That show came along and then it completely changed the game. Like, I was a bit part on a show where that whenever they needed a funny tag and a sketch, they would just bring out the dwarf in a costume. Like, that's essentially what I was. And then he's like, oh, tell me about that. Tell me about The Mind of Mencia. And I'm just like, I'm sure, because I've done nothing since then. Sorry.
That's so annoying. Like, just the guy, he's trying to be all schmarmy for his show. Like, hey, man, I'm so excited. I genuinely know everything. Like, and then it's just like, you know, right in that instant, this guy's not genuinely any kind of like fan of mine. He's totally pulling this shit out of his ass.
Yes. And the thing is it's not difficult. You like take a second and a half. Just glance at the Wikipedia. Just glance. Yeah. Peruse.
Yeah.
Read it half a time.
Or just be a human. Just be a human and talk. Like, you don't have to be like, I got to have something here of like, you did this. Tell me about it. Like, the tell me about it is just never a great interview question. Tell me about.
Oh,
like, I kind of just did a terrible one where it's like, you got a good one of these stories, but it was just like, I knew when I asked you that, like, you did have a ton of those.
Yeah, but at least you got me. Hey, there's always the fun. So what can people expect at your show this weekend?
Yeah,
it's a comedy show. I'm gonna talk into a microphone. You're gonna laugh. Yeah. That's what to expect. I'm going to attempt to make you laugh. I don't know how to dress it up. Like, what could people expect? Like, I don't know too many other, like, it's like, would you ask Bon Jovi, like, hey, what could people expect from your concert? He's going to play Living on a Prayer, okay? Like, he's going to do the hits. They'll do a couple of new ones. You'll go to the bathroom and get nachos during the new ones. And then you'll come back and you'll hear Wanted Dead or Alive. It's going to be a great time. I feel like the playbook is out there for comedians. You know what you're going to expect. There's going to be a stand-up comedy show. You know how comedy works, right? Yeah. I say something, you laugh. I say something, you hopefully laugh. Like, that's that's always a question that that really gets me. It's just like, what can people expect from your show?
Ugh, the worst. You know, in Vegas next week, I got to in Vegas next week, I got to do opening night where both teams are like available to the media. So I've been like going through the rosters and I'm like trying to come up with like, all right, I want to ask this guy this ridiculous, because, you know, I'm not going to do like, what do you think about the game? Like, I'm trying to find like a funny, like, I want to just get a clip. Like, basically, we're just going there to try to get social media stuff. So I want to get like good 1 minute interactions with these guys. And I'm like, I want to help have like a little writing session here.
Yeah. What's your favorite Kadarius Toney meme?
I think like that's aggressive. It's a little aggressive. I don't know if I'm going to get it. Like, I don't know if they're going to be playful with me if I start with Kadarius Toney. Like Blaine Probably Garrett. Not. Have you heard the Blaine Gabbert thing on our show? Like, not terrible. Like Blaine Gabbert, not terrible. That's like he's basically, when we call something Blaine Gabbert, we're calling it not terrible.
Oh, I see. Okay. By the way, who's the backup quarterback in Kansas City? Does anyone know?
Isn't it Blaine Gabbert?
Is it?
That's why I brought him up, is because he's going to be just standing there with no one interviewing him. So I want to like go up to him. I want to have some sort of interaction about like, not terrible, right? Like, just be like, hey, Blaine Gabbert, not terrible? And then see what he says.
I'm wondering if he'll be okay with you essentially telling him that your name has become synonymous with, hey, not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Like, do you think, like, should I explain that to him beforehand, or should I just go up to him and get the moment of me being like, Blaine Gabbert, not terrible? I don't know. I gotta figure that part out.
I like to explain it because either A, he yes ands,
yeah,
and he says something like, yeah, I think that sums me up. You know, every now and then when I'm with my wife and she goes, wow, you really Blaine Gabberted that. Yeah. I'm like, cool. that's great. I didn't screw it up.
So I just want you to say, me and my wife mention you in the, like, whenever I have a night, like, my wife says, Blaine Gabbert, not terrible. And then I'm thinking I want to do Creed Humphrey is the center for the Chiefs.
So what's your favorite Creed song?
Yeah, I was going to say, if you could have your name be another famous band, like, what's
that's good. That's good.
And then I have also, like, I want to basically, because Jason Kelce has become a star and Creed Humphrey is better than him on Pro Football. And like, he's number one ahead. And it's just like, what's with Jason Kelce getting all this attention? Like,
yeah,
I was going to be like, do you have a brother that can date a famous pop star? Like, do you?
Can you? But like not at the level of Taylor Swift or Beyonce. Like, you got to go. Not even Olivia Rodrigo. Like, I think you got to go a few steps below that. Yeah. Like, I'm not too familiar with pop stars nowadays. I probably call me back in like 8 years because my daughter will be 10 and then I'll probably be right in the thick of it.
Yeah.
But right now, don't really know. It's like, I know what a Dua Lipa is, but, I can't identify her in a lineup.
I want to ask Rashee Rice if you could change your name to another food item. See, like, we're really hard hitting stuff.
Yeah. Well, but like, those are fun now.
Yeah.
Because it's not quite the parody of Super Bowl media where it's like, if you could be a kind of tree, what would you be? Like, it's not that.
Right.
But you're trying to have fun with it. You could ask Isaiah Pacheco, you know, if you run angry, do you do everything angry? Do you do everything like you run? Like, when you take a shit, are you just like,
right?
Like, are you just like getting
Do you shit like you run? That's a really aggressive question, but I like it. I'm writing that one down.
Yeah.
But no, what I had for him though is, to that point, it's like synonymous now. When you say Isaiah Pacheco, when you're watching with your friends, and you're watching an Isaiah Pacheco game, somebody in that room is going to say he runs hard.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it is just like, I was going to, like, honestly, the question I had written down for him is, if you had a dollar for every time someone tells you you run hard, how much money would you have?
Yeah. And it's one of those, like, there's this thing now that's kind of happening where people are identifying sort of football watching cliches, and he runs hard is definitely, like, if we were playing Family Feud, it's definitely on the board.
Yeah.
Because, and it's also a dumb one because it's like, okay, what's the how do you run soft?
Right.
Like, I don't know how you run soft playing football. Yeah. I've heard you mention this one a few times, the big third down right here.
Oh, yeah.
That is definitely on the board of top phrases that are said.
You just honestly inspired another question. What if I, like, who's the running back in the league that runs the least hard? Like, you're up at the top. He's not going to obviously name one, but that would be funny.
Who runs soft? Can you tell me any player
who runs the softest?
Who, if they were running at you, are you like, oh, cool, this will be fun?
There's got to be a funny name that I have, like some team's backup running back that, like, some team's backup running back that doesn't threaten anybody. That's just a funny name. Like, I gotta look at depth charts. I gotta look at. I want to ask Chris Jones, who's one of, like, the most menacing men. Like, who calls you? Who calls you Christopher?
Ooh, that's a good question for him.
I want to know some, like, irrational fears he has. Like, he's menacing, but he's terrified of spiders.
Yeah.
I'm getting back into more, like, standard hokey Super Bowl radio row questions, though, with that stuff.
Yeah, it's veering, but I think it's still in the world of you guys, which is always funny. You guys know what you're doing. You guys know that it's, you guys know your audience. So I think those are solid. I think those are really great. Now, is Kadarius Toney going to be there?
I think I saw something. I might have got tricked by the internet, but that I think that he got, like, taken off their injury report and was, like, at practice today or something. Like, they're letting him slide on all that internet stuff. Like, I have to confirm that. It's pretty reckless of me just to say it on this podcast, but I think he's actually he might play in the Super Bowl, which is crazy.
That is, because, like, just that whole his year is, and then that whole thing where he was on the injury report and then he was what, on Instagram Live or something saying, I'm not injured.
And, like, and saying it, not like, he wasn't just like, hey, it's a misunderstanding. He was like, yo, bleep them, I'm not injured, they're lying. Like, it was aggressive.
Yeah. I'm fascinated by that story. I want more into that story.
I'm seeing one day ago. Kadarius Toney off Chiefs practice report.
Okay.
But says Hero faces uncertain playing time for big game, but that implies was back at practice a day ago. Like, it's not like he was, like, dismissed from the team.
What are the DraftKings odds that he plays in the game?
I don't know.
Do you think that might be a, cause you know how, like, Bill Belichick would, like, cut people, like, 2 days before the game. Like, you think that might be a Bill Belichick moment where Andy Reid just calls him up to the hotel suite.
Yeah.
Darius, we really appreciate all you've done.
Where are you leaning in that game, by the way? Not to get totally sports nerdy with you.
I am leaning, and if you had the Look at Me Louie sounder, I would say get ready to play it.
Okay.
I would say I'm leaning towards the 49ers because I can actually text Christian McCaffrey and he texts back.
Oh, so you're totally biased.
Yes. So that's that's a friend, because, and I'll tell this story. So I got to be friends with Christian because I used to do a gig every year where the two teams that were in the Rose Bowl would go to the Hollywood Improv a few nights before the game, and they would have a meal for them and a bunch of comedians would do a show for them. It was notoriously one of the worst gigs. Because football players are just, they don't give a crap. They're not showing you any respect. And they're 19, 18 year old kids that, like, they're not into comedy so much. But I took it every year because I knew sports. And this is actually, I was trending one year for a joke I made about Jameis Winston to the Oregon Ducks team. And that was interesting.
Are we like, not, do you not want to tell it, or?
I'll tell it. Cause if you can just, you can go back and you can Google the joke anyway. So there's no point in me not telling it.
Right.
I said, of course, Jameis Winston is the quarterback for for Florida State that you guys are going to be facing. Based on his alleged actions, they should change the chant to "No means no."
Yep.
And yeah, that got on TMZ. That was fun.
Is that a positive? Like, was that one of those things that was a good thing for you, or did that?
It depends on what part of the country you're in. I sell tickets in Oregon. I'll say that.
I wonder how viral that, like if that happens in today, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I mean. That was a different world then. So like when you say it went viral, was it just like a few people, like the internet kind of got it, but it was not the same as today, right? If it was on TikTok and stuff.
Correct. So, yeah, that it'd be a different time nowadays. And what's funny is the joke got out. I think it was because Mariota gave an interview where he talked about it. Never mind. Now I remember it. So the joke got out because at the end of the game, Oregon beats Florida State. There are several Duck players on the sideline saying "no means no."
Where'd you guys get that?
Yes, and people said, "Where'd you get that?" And they went, "This comedian Brad Williams told a joke." And I'm just like, "Oh,
that's awesome!" Amazing.
So there was that. So I would do the gig like every year, and one year, Stanford was in the Rose Bowl, so I got to perform, and Christian McCaffrey was on the team. And I'm a lifelong diehard Broncos fan, so of course I know his dad, Ed McCaffrey, two-time Super Bowl champion with the Broncos, three-time overall. And so I did a lot of jokes that night about Christian. He laughed. At some point, no BS, Chris Cody. Christian McCaffrey went up on stage and did a freestyle rap and destroyed. Destroyed the room. Like, absolutely, I've never seen anything like it. And I was talking to some of the players in the back. I'm like, are you guys cool with that? And then the players on the team were like, that dude can do absolutely anything, and we're supporting it. So if you see Christian McCaffrey.
I wrote it down.
You can bring up. I talked to Brad Williams, and he said he wants freestyle rap at the Hollywood Improv. And got the whole team up behind you. Any freestyle raps right before the game? You want to hear anything?
Dude, can you freestyle for me? I got it right here.
Yeah, because and he's just a badass, man. And then when he was on the Panthers, I was doing a gig in Charlotte, and he came out to the show. So, yeah, him and I are friends. He's a great guy. And so I'm absolutely rooting for the 49ers this time.
Oh, man. Because I have, like, man, I can't go into too much detail about this, but I'm in a pool where it's the biggest, like, I need to predict with the spread this Super Bowl, where if I hit it, I'm at a certain point in the pool where if I win this Super Bowl pick, I cash in this thing. And if I don't hit the Super Bowl, people will pass me. So it's so much money that I'm going to hedge. Like, I'm going to... Like, I'm telling you, this will, like, if I hit on the upside of this, it's going to be like, it's not life-changing money. It's like thousands of dollars. We're talking thousands. I almost want to say tens of thousands of dollars. Like,
so it's not to the point where if it hits, you just don't show up the next day to work.
I'm going
to
show up.
No one knows where you are. Okay?
I'm going to show up.
Everyone knows where you are.
There's a few scenarios where if I do hit, I might tie for second, might win it all. Like, we have to see who picks what. So there's a chance. There's, if I get first all alone, which is a possibility, if everyone else picks the other way and I pick, my wife has told me she's quitting her job. If we hit I just want to give a ballpark of that. Like, that.
Wow.
Like,
well, all right. So what has to hit for, what has to hit?
I haven't made my pick yet. So I don't know yet, but I've been leaning Chiefs just from the go.
Yeah.
And I genuinely like to just go with what my gut tells me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just like, I just can't live with myself if I take Brock Purdy over Patrick Mahomes. Whereas I can live with myself.
Yes.
If Brock Purdy just like outshines Patrick Mahomes.
Yes. It's like when you're playing fantasy football and you have like Tyreek Hill against a bad defense. You go, like, I'm taking Tyreek Hill. And then if he has a dud day.
Yes.
But then
I'll sleep. Okay. I can sleep fine.
Yeah. But then one of your backup, like, deep wide receivers that day happens to have a 2-3 touchdown day, you're like, you know what? No one would have done that. No one would have subbed out Tyreek Hill for Marvin Mims of the Broncos. So I'm good.
Yeah.
Like, so that's your thing with picking the Chiefs, where it's like, if Brock Purdy beats Mahomes, you're like, okay, I pick Mahomes over Brock Purdy.
Whereas my wife, if I take Brock Purdy and then Mahomes is up 20-0 at the half, my wife's just gonna be like, what are you doing?
Yeah. I could not work anymore if you just hit this, you son of a bitch. And then I will say this, while I'm rooting for the 49ers, I read a stat this morning that I think might influence your betting decision. The team with the I'll get the stat wrong, but it's something like the team with the better record or the higher ranking going into the Super Bowl is like one for the last 24 or something like that. Yeah. Did you read that stat as well?
That stat is crazy. And I'm not going to lie, I wasn't listening to it because we have a very special guest. Yeah, I got distracted midway through that.
Okay. But
Roy Bellamy from Toronto at the NHL All-Star Weekend. Roy, can you hear me?
Yeah, I am here. I'm currently walking from the hotel to Scotiabank Arena for the skills competition tonight. Last night was the player draft, and tomorrow is the All-Star game.
And how cold are we talking here, Roy?
It is, I believe it's 33 degrees.
All right. So
yeah, it is.
How are Reinhardt and Bob doing?
Bob is the only person right now in the skills competition. He's doing the one-on-ones, the breakaways. Sam Reinhardt will not be in the skills competition. So there's that. But I think they have a good chance to at least make the final of the All-Star game. They might not win. They might end up losing to the Blue Team.
Well, the funny thing about all this, Roy, is that this comes out Monday, this podcast. So it will all have already happened. So I need you to now recap the NHL All-Star Weekend before it's happened.
Well, for us here, we traveled throughout Toronto. We had an excellent time. We went on a food tour.
Oh.
And we went on a distillery tour as well. So, you know, we wanted to go about town in Toronto. We went to Fan Fest. And we did all the activations, similar to what we did at the Hall of Fame, but in a much larger scope. There are a lot more activities there. Actually, similar to last year's All-Star game, the ones that we went to. So, but instead of it being on a beach, it's not outside because, as you know, it's in the low 30s. They put in a convention center. So it was a nice time there. And, of course, the draft, they made it through the draft. It was on time. It was an hour. They didn't go over. And, you know, they did their thing.
And who won the skills competition?
Great. Thanks for that.
Oh, no. Oh, my bad. Okay. No, all right, fine. But what is the best bite of food you've had in Toronto so far?
Oh, there was a secret, they called it a secret food item. But we actually recorded it for the playback on the big show. It was a poutine dish.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, it's it actually had avocado sauce, sour cream. It was kind of a fusion. Okay. Mexican and Canadian, and they had birria in it, and it was really, really delicious.
All right. Well, that sounds bleeping delicious.
World famous cuisine, Mexican Canadian. World famous.
They do a lot of fusion up here, Brad. A lot of fusion. It's a very, very big melting pot, this town here in Toronto. So yeah, the food, excellent here.
All right, bro. We're going to let you go, Brad. Do you have anything else for Roy before we let him go?
Roy, how are the Canadians reacting to seeing a black person?
There are a lot of black people here. There are also a lot of Indian. There are a lot of minorities here in town, so they're kind of used to it. It's definitely a nicer nicer environment than it is south of the border.
Okay. Fantastic. Go Toronto.
Hey, how about that, eh?
I'm glad they surprised me, and that is wonderful. I stand corrected. Well done, Roy Bellamy.
Right, well, you know, I'm a nice guy, so they like me.
All right, Roy, we'll let you go. Thank you for popping in.
All right. Yeah. All right. Goodbye.
Hugs and kisses.
I love you too, Chris.
Oh, wow.
That
is... Well, somebody finally had to do it to you. I might as well do it.
Yeah, thank you. I wish I was there.
Well, it should have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'm removing him. Get out of here.
Okay.
All right, we'll be back after this. Hey guys, before we get back to Brad Williams, let me talk to you about Sheets and Giggles. Guys, it's Valentine's Day and nobody loves love like Sheets and Giggles. Colin over there, he just texted me. They got a special deal for you guys this Valentine's Day with the code THREESOME. That's right. I've always wanted a threesome and now you, me, and Sheets and Giggles can have one together. It's you, it's me, it's Colin from Sheets and Giggles, and we are having a threesome. You go to sheetsgiggles.com/Greg, promo code THREESOME. THREESOME, threesome. That will get you two items completely free when you purchase a mattress. If you get a mattress at sheetsgiggles.com, and I'm telling you guys, it is a game-changing mattress. I sleep on one every night. I love the Sheets and Giggles mattress so much, I am bringing it with me to Vegas. That's right. I am flying. I am checking a Sheets and Giggles mattress. I am going to bring it, put it in my hotel room in Vegas because it is such a gosh darn great mattress. It is soft. It is firm. It is cooling. It keeps me warm. It does everything. I go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. I get back. My bed's not warm. You know, you get that weird warm feeling of like, oh, I've been in this bed all night. No, it's already cool again. It's that perfect temperature. It's always soft. It's always perfect. And you get any two free items completely free on the Sheets and Giggles website if you purchase a mattress. Go sheetsgiggles.com/Greg. Promo code THREESOME for two free items when you purchase a mattress. Go now, guys. And we're back.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. All right. So tell me that stat again, because I really wanted to hear.
I should have taken that time to actually look up the stat, so I got it right. I did not. I'm a lazy journalist.
It's fine. Say it wrong again.
Because I'm not a journalist. But it was something along the lines of the higher ranked team going into the Super Bowl, it has one win in the last 25 Super Bowls. So it's like, which doesn't sound right to me. But I heard that stat. So,
wow, okay. I regret asking you to repeat it. If I'm not gonna lie, I saw one crazy. There's so many stats around this Super Bowl game. Like I saw one stat earlier that was basically like whenever a Super Bowl happens, when one team is traveling west and one team is traveling east, the team traveling east has won 7 times in a row. It's like shit. So the 49ers are gonna like. There's no way there could be actual correlation there. Like you know what I mean? Like.
You'll find it's like right, like so. Right now, the logo, the logo, the purple and red logo predicting the teams in the Super Bowl, that was debunked this year. But they'll find another stat. Yeah. They'll find another parrot that has chosen the winner of the last 10 Super Bowls. They'll find the team that has the team meal. Before the game, and the theme of their meal is the closest to the equator. They won the last 30 Super Bowls. It's like we'll find a stat. Yeah. You can find a stat for anything.
So to recap what we were talking about before Roy joined, if the Chiefs cover in this Super Bowl, just know that there's a chance my wife is quitting her job.
That's going to be a damn good day.
Yeah, I'm really nervous about it because it's like. I mean, I'm going to hedge, so it's going to be profitable either way, but I want that.
Yeah, because usually when you gamble, if you're gambling responsibly, which we encourage all people to do,
yep.
It's like, all right, you win a couple of bucks,
right.
maybe you win a steak dinner, okay.
It's nothing that's going to really feel, you're going to feel it, right.
Yeah, but this one sounds like you're going to feel it.
This one, yes.
Oh, snap.
Like
okay.
We're looking at all inclusives in March. Like where are we?
All right.
Well, I love how I say that. Like we were planning a trip in March either way, but we're not booking it until after this because we don't know if there's a little maybe extra funds that are available to
you gotta upgrade the room and some experiences. There so
Zagaki.
I want you, based on that alone, to pick the Chiefs that way. If the Niners win, I'm happy because my friend wins the Super Bowl. And if the Chiefs win, I'm happy because I'll never talk to my other friend again because he'll be a rich.
Yeah, it's not that. You'll hear from me.
Damn it. Okay. So I would advise you picking the Chiefs for that for purely selfish reasons. Yeah. Just so no matter who wins, I can be somewhat happy and I can find a silver lining to anything like that.
My dad gets like very stressed out if at some point in this podcast we don't talk about like local sports for at least a minute. So okay. I'm going to give you two options. Do you want to talk about Tua struggling in the skills competition and me genuinely thinking that that's a concerning thing for his future with the Dolphins, or Vic Fangio just leaving the Dolphins, which sounds like a really boring topic, actually?
It is a boring topic, and as a Broncos fan, we had him as a head coach. That didn't work out too well for us. Yeah. So we'll go to in the skills competition. It, like, I get it. You guys micromanage everything Tua does. You hyperanalyze. I swear, like, if Tua was spotted at some restaurant, you guys would sit down and be like, "Well, what is this going to do for his diet? Is he hydrated? Is he that?" How's his blood sugar level?
If I saw Tua at a restaurant and there were booths available and he sat at a regular table, I would be like, he's not thinking clearly. I would be like, there's still something here. Why is he not sitting at that booth?
Yes, exactly. If croquetes are on the menu and he's not ordering them, what is wrong with him? Yeah. That is, I probably pronounced that wrong. So yeah. I apologize in advance. I'm very white. I'm not from that. So it's no big deal that he messed up the skills competition. It's fine. The home run derby never determines who the absolute best home run hitter in the league is that year. So it's good. Like,
but that's his thing. To accurate, like, he can't move. He's not a mobile quarterback. Like, he's the Drew Brees of this era. He's the guy that's like, I can put it right there. I could put this through that pencil hole from.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, and then in the thing. He's just like aloof, not caring, and just missing stuff. I don't know, man. It was just one of those things where it's like, I'm half kidding with like thinking negatively, but he had a chance there to really shine and be like, okay, maybe I can't run, but I can put this ball wherever you need it. And he looked like Gardner Minshew out there.
Oh, Gardner Minshew catching a stray. I would say that the guy got you to the playoffs, not a win, but a guy got you to the playoffs for the first time in forever. Not to quote Frozen, but in the first time in forever, your team has mattered. Your team has been relevant. There's been excitement around your team. Hey, man, baby steps.
Yeah.
Okay. Baby steps. Yeah. Right now, we're in the midst of getting from. We're essentially going from one dynasty to another dynasty in the AFC. You're going from the Patriots to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And it's very frustrating as a fan of another team in the AFC. Your team is in the AFC because it's like, can we just get a couple of years?
Yeah.
Couple of years.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. Broncos won the Super Bowl in 2015, obviously, that we all remember that. So I'm doing just fine with my fandom. But yeah, like it is frustrating to go like right from Jordan to LeBron, where it's like, okay, so just no one else gets to go. Got it. All right. Like it is a little frustrating that way.
Yeti, I'm gonna want that parody, a Dolphins parody that's to the theme of since first time in forever, whatever the Frozen song. I need that parody like saying about Dolphins fans in pain. That's a good idea.
Yeah, for the first time in forever, your fandom has mattered. People can name players on your team other than players that played in the 90s and 1972. Like, it's an exciting team. So I think you guys just kind of have to look at it that way and say, all right, you guys are taking steps in the right direction. Have you guys hired a new defensive coordinator yet?
No. We've interviewed, like, I saw we interviewed Brandon Staley, Leslie Frazier. We almost interviewed Chris Shula, but then he got hired as the Rams DC.
Yep. So. Yep. All right. Well, I mean, if you hire Frazier or if you hire Staley, those are obviously good enough. Or
Mike Vrabel's a name that I've heard, but I bet I could see him taking a year off and trying to just be another head coach. But like Vrabel's another name that's popped up since he didn't get the head coaching jobs. That would be fun. Like he seems like he'd be a fit.
I think that'd be great for you guys. But I don't know. Like once you're a head coach, I don't know if you always want to stay head coach. Now, because Bill Belichick one of the greatest head coaches of all time. How's this hypothetical?
That would be a DC.
Could you imagine? To me, that's like hiring Tim Tebow as your backup quarterback. Like the first loss of the year, everyone goes, "Should Belichick coach the team?" Like that's just what everyone would do. But and then if he does that, he can't catch Shula with the wins record.
Yeah, no, so, dude, that, I mean, I know that, you're half kidding, but if there's any coach that's never going to be a coordinator, I think it's that one. I'm in.
Yeah,
that'd be fun.
I think we're pretty safe, but I just imagine him like, I'll just do a coordinator thing. That's not that much stress, so I'm good.
Where are you? Super Bowl weekend this weekend.
Super Bowl weekend. I will have just done shows in Bakersfield, California. Jealous. And in Los Angeles, California. So I will be home. I'm trying to figure out the party situation. I feel like as a comedian, I can't go to a Super Bowl party with civilians. I cannot do that. I have to go with other comedians because I have to be able to make jokes during the game when there's a stupid commercial. I have to be able to say that was a stupid commercial and make fun. When it's the halftime show, I have to be able to do what I do for the halftime show. Every time they cut away to Taylor Swift, I have to make a joke. I can't be at a Super Bowl party if, like, I say something and then the whole party just turns to me and goes, "Oh my God." Like, I can't do that.
But, it's so hard to find the perfect balance of a Super Bowl party. It's like the perfect is you have 8 people sitting around a TV, right? Because if you have 15 people, there's so much noise that you can't hear the commercials. It's like, dude, are we talking? Like, it's just such a weird balance because you're right. You want to find the perfect where it's like everyone's got a seat. There's not a lot of extra noise. It's like it's so hard because like you want to invite all your friends, but then it's like that's too many people. It's almost impossible to have the perfect. Like something's always gonna like either it's you're all focused on the commercials or there's great food or there's too many people. Like there's always something a little off with a Super Bowl party.
There has to be that balance of. You need people that are into football, that are going to pay attention to the game, but not the guy that's mortgaged his house on bets.
Or me. So I won't be watching you.
Yes. And so you don't want Cody at your party because.
Not this year.
You need to be like in a bunker.
I'm going
to
be like living and dying with every snap.
Yeah. You don't want that guy at your party. You don't want the person that has never watched football. And is asking questions every 2 seconds. There's that perfect balance of, and it's hard to achieve. It's very hard to achieve. But I think you're right. I think 8 or 9 is like a good number. And then hopefully everyone there is cool. You can talk, you can crack jokes, but you also kind of pay attention. Like if a commercial pops up and it's obvious that it's going to suck, all right, let's talk over that. But if a commercial pops up and it's like, oh, it's Larry David walking down the street. Hold on. Let's see where this goes. Like, you know, everyone kind of shuts up and it's like, oh, this could be something interesting. So,
you don't want the premature premature evaluator of a commercial either. We're midway through. I'm still on the roller coaster ride of this commercial. And you're like, this one sucks this year. It's like, don't you dare cut off this Budweiser commercial too early, okay? This thing, you don't think they're going to bring it home? They're Budweiser, okay?
Give them a chance. This is I almost said the idiotic comment of, this is Budweiser Super Bowl. And it's like, of course it is. It's the actual Super Bowl.
Wow, like, usually when you're saying about something, that's their Super Bowl, it isn't. And wow, with Budweiser, it is. Wow.
It is the actual Super Bowl. Awesome. Achieving that right balance. Also, Super Bowl food, very important because, yes, wings are great. Wings are wonderful, but you want really saucy wings with a lot of people. Now there's a lot of napkins. Mm-hmm. There's that problem. There's people wiping their hands on your couch. You don't want that. So it's like, but then if you get a dry rub, it can't like be crusted to where it's going to be falling off. It's very tricky.
It's, It's not just very tricky. It's impossible. I'll say it. It is impossible to have a party, a Super Bowl party, where every element is a 10. There's always going to be one thing. It's like, there's too many people here, I can't hear the commercials. Or it's going to be, there's not enough chairs here. Or it's like, this dip, that's all we have for 12 people, is this little sad onion dip.
I will say this. One time, I was the star of a Super Bowl party, not because I was cracking jokes, not because of my hilarious wit, but because I brought a side dish that absolutely killed it. And the bowl was empty at the end of the night.
Love it.
Gummy bears.
Oh, wow.
Gummy bears.
That's a curveball. I was not expecting that.
Exactly. Because no one thinks about dessert. You're always thinking about, you know, the snacks and the crudité and the wings and the pizza and the hot dog and the burgers. Yeah. But like, everyone's doing those.
It's usually just that sad box of like cookies that like from Publix or something. It's like that sad tin that you just open. It's like, no, I don't want that.
No, you bring gummy bears and now
weed gummies.
If you really want to have some fun, you have two bowls. Yeah. you have two bowls. You do the little you do the thing right there.
You say, all right, kids. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. You take a handful and you just let the lazy river take you wherever it takes you, my friend.
Yeah.
I would say that would make your game of Super Bowl squares that much more exciting.
Yeah.
That's another thing. There's always the one guy that is doing Super Bowl squares that is way too into Super Bowl.
I don't need to know the update every time someone scores, buddy. Okay, if you get to within 1 minute of the quarter, tell me if you got it. I don't need when it's 7-0 in the first play of the game. Like, you're not, it's not going to end the first quarter 7-0, buddy. Like, I get it. I mean, 7-0 is a great number to have, but.
Yeah, it's like, okay, right now, if the quarter ends right now.
Oh,
Andrea's got it. And it's like, no, it was the Bears and it was Devin Hester returning the kickoff for a touchdown. There's time left. This is going to change.
Super Bowl parties would be a better place if every single time someone said, if the quarter ends now, you punch them right in the face.
If the quarter ends right now. Oh, man. I mean, so when now, if you're setting up a Super Bowl drinking game, obviously some of the things you can do this year, every time they show Taylor Swift, you know, or, you know, you take a drink. Don't put that on your board. If you do, it's not going to be a fun party. I made the mistake 1 year. It was when the Rams won the Super Bowl, and it was greatest show on turf, Kurt Warner. I made the mistake of being like, okay, every time they show Kurt Warner's wife, take a drink. Every time Kurt Warner praises Jesus, take a drink. Every time they mention that Kurt Warner was a bag boy at a grocery store, take a drink. We were smashed by the end of that game, but like just beyond. And then they win the Super Bowl. They hand the trophy to Kurt Warner, and the first thing he does is goes, "Thank you, Jesus." And we're like, "Oh no, oh no, oh no." So yes, choose your Super Bowl drinking game very carefully. Oh. Very carefully.
Brad Williams, this was a lot of fun. What can you promote on the way out here? Your new special is hilarious. I've watched the entire thing. Where can the people find that bad boy?
You did watch it. Thank you. So it's called Starfish. It's on the website or app veeps.com. It's a great concert app. You can watch concerts by like Alicia Keys, Imagine Dragons, 1975. But they have comedy specials on there. You don't have to subscribe. You're not paying a monthly fee. You just go on there, pick what you want, and you can watch it. And so that's where the special is. But then I've got a tour, over 70 dates in 2024. Go to bradwilliamscomedy.com, see where I'm coming to, and come on out and come see a live show.
Will Chris finally get on stage in 2024?
Ooh, what's the over-under, DraftKings? Every time I'm in South Florida, I have said, I demand that you open for me.
I mean, you realize that on my vision board of life, like 5 years from now, you're doing like arenas and I'm like, I'm like your first open. You have like three people. Like, obviously, like you have like three people before you. So I'm like the first one. Like, even at that point in 5 years, I'm still just that first one for you. But that's what I see. I see that. That's happening.
That'd be a great place to be, my friend. That would be I hope all that comes true, because that means I'm playing arenas. And that is great. That'd be good.
How much would that in that scenario, like, you probably being in the business, know how much, like, how much does, like, a Louis C.K. for, like, one night at Madison Square Garden, like, how much is that in their bank account? Or is that a dangerous, you don't want to, like, say that, or, like, I'm not.
It's okay. I'll throw it out there.
We don't need to put Louis C.K. anyone's name on it. I'm just saying, in general. Yeah. I guess that's, I'm getting too much in your wallet. These are personal questions.
Okay, no.
Yeah, I'm just curious.
I'm not playing an arena right now. Right. I haven't played an arena, so this isn't a peek behind, you know, into my finance. With a comedian, depending on your set, but also you got to remember, comedians are just one person. It's not like a band where you got to split it four or five different ways. Not a lot of roadies when comedians are going on the road. So a lot of it's just going to the one guy. Yeah. But you're getting really close to six figures for one night.
Oh, nice. So what would like the Chris in that scenario where you're the headliner there? What's that first guy getting?
So I've been that guy. Yeah. I've been the opening act for I've been the opening act for a couple of different comics at those arena shows, and there's a comma.
Okay. Dude, we could do that. That's it.
There's a comma.
That's plenty. That's plenty.
Yeah. So I would say that that's something you could absolutely do, and especially if this Super Bowl bet hits for you, you could just be like, "Cool, let's focus on some comedy."
Yeah, Dan, I'm out of here. I got to be a comedian. Sorry, buddy. All right, dude. Let's we've run long. This went quick. This was fun, dude. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you asking me. You know, if Greg wants to stay sick and I can just keep co-hosting, that's fine. So if Greg's immune system stand down.
I mean, I feel like we flowed here. I mean, when you're in these talks with Metal Arc, if you're looking for a producer or a co-host, like, I'm out here. I'm out here.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, we'll talk.
All right. Sounds good, buddy.
Hey, let's do dad jokes, huh?
Greg, I thought you were sick and that I was driving back from Birmingham, so we weren't going to be on this episode.
You know, it's a miracle cure.
What's a miracle cure?
Dad jokes.
Laughter? Is laughter the best medicine? Is that what you're saying here?
Yes, it is. Apparently it is. Number three. What insect always signs up for the marching band?
Let's see.
A hornet.
Ah.
Number two. Hornet. What do you call a poodle that's always wet?
A wet poodle.
A puddle. Wow, that actually got a laugh out of you. How about that? A rarity. Number one. What did the snake name his daughter?
I don't know, Greg.
Anaconda.
Okay. I mean, it didn't get a laugh, but I get it. That's all right. It's all
okay.
Right. We probably just made the episode worse by putting this in, but you know, that's what we're here for, right?
Hey, you know, you roll the dice. Three facts, Jack.
There are three things that interest him, so sit right back for three facts, Jack.
Number three, a tightrope walker is formerly known as a funambulist. Funambulist.
Yeah, because they take one step the wrong way and they're riding in a fun ambulance.
Yeah, it could be.
There's my dad joke.
Number two.
Didn't get a laugh out of Greg.
A small bunch of sweet scented flowers is called a nosegay.
That's funnier than your dad jokes.
Okay.
I'm not lying. Did you look up the etymology of that?
I did not. Number one. The 10-gallon hat of cowboy and Western lore actually holds only 3/4 of 1 gallon of liquid. So it's a misnomer. A liar.
Well, I mean, look, everything's bigger in Texas, right?
That's true. Including the lies, apparently.
All right, so looking up the etymology, Greg, on nosegay, that small bouquet of flowers is just something that brings joy and merriment to your nose. It's literally just that. This little thing of flowers smells so good that it brings joy to your nose.
There you go. Have a nosegay day, everybody.
We'll see you in Vegas, Greg.
All right, see you there.
And hopefully we'll see every one of you, audience. How mad is Chris going to be that we punched these in without him knowing?
Not as mad as I'd like him to be.